Hello everyone, you are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today we begin our business article on page 14, and I have two great panelists in the studio with me today. First, I would like to introduce Steve. Steve, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Brandon. Hi everybody, great to be here. We have a very interesting business article this month. I'm interested in the topic very much.
I am interested as well. I enjoy media. And this involves a lot of media, Steve, so it will be quite intriguing to find out the facts in this article.
Right.
All right, and I'd like to introduce someone else, first time on the program. His name is Albert. Albert Ho, welcome to the program.
Hello, everyone. I'm happy to be here.
And Albert, tell us just a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I was born and raised in Los Angeles, California. And I moved to Taiwan about 3 years ago.
Okay, great. Great to have you here today. And as I said earlier, we are on page 14. This is our business article, and the title is Banjo. And what does the deck say, Steve?
The deck says Banjo's ability to track events in real time gives clients competitive edge. So I think a lot of people like to be in the know. They like to be the first to know, in fact. They like to know the news before other people. And this is a company that provides a way for companies, customers, clients, if you will, the ability to know information before other people.
And with today's technology, this is possible. We see the term real time here. Because of the technology we have, we can know the news in real time. An event happens, and you can know it just after it happens. What does real time mean, Albert?
Just as it is happening.
Right.
I feel like a lot of people with cell phones are able to be on the scene to report the news before professional reporters are even able to get there.
That's right, and we're going to talk a lot more about that exactly. Because of cell phones and the internet, we can know events just right after they happen, which is great. If you're a news organization, it's great for other companies as well and the general public. If you're a news junkie, so to speak, you love to watch the news and you want to know what's happening as it's occurring, well, this is the type of article for you. And then we have this whole idea of giving a client a competitive edge, Steve.
Well, certain clients, especially in the financial sector, when you know something is happening before other people, it could affect trading bonds and stocks and the market, perhaps a political situation in a distant country could change the economy there, and a storm or a hurricane could affect the economy. And if you're the first to know, you can manipulate that information and actually make money off of it.
Right. And as far as the news goes, if you're a news agency, you want to be first with the breaking news, right? Because if you're known as that station that breaks the news first, you're going to get more people watching, and that means more money, because the advertisers will, you know, pay more to advertise on that station and
That's
so
right.
forth.
Yep.
So all of this comes back to money a lot of the time, and if you're in business, you want to make money. So this is an incentive to maybe subscribe to Banjo. Well, let's find out much more about this company as we open our magazines to page 14 and have our first reading for today.
Banjo. Banjo's ability to track events in real time gives clients competitive edge. A dozen massive television screens hang inside Banjo's war room, beaming streams of social media data. 24-hour news networks, and an animated spinning globe highlighting hotspots of activity around the world. From this nerve center, a team of employees behind computer terminals are doing something extraordinary with the billions of public social media posts spewed onto the internet each day, learning about events in real time before almost anyone else.
All right, so now we're actually going into Banjo's war room, and we see a lot of different things there, but that sounds kind of scary, Steve. What's a war room?
Yeah, I think this is an exaggeration a little bit When I think of a war room, I think of a place where a leader of a country will get together with his cabinet, with his generals, and it's a very private place. It's a very limited access place. Mm-hmm. Not everybody could go in there. And they've got the maps on the walls, and they're creating strategy in the war room. How are we going to strategize to win the war?
That's right.
That's usually what I think of when I think of war room, but it's kind of been taken and put in other places since then, right?
That's right. It is used also in the business realm, and so that's the idea they're using here. They're discussing something important, not as important as winning a war, but it is important for their business. And so we see here that there are a dozen massive television screens hanging there in the war room. And what's going on there, Albert? What else do we learn?
They are monitoring all the social media data. They have like 24-hour news networks mm-hmm. on the screens. I'm thinking that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just watching for little hotspots or potential news blips all happening all over the place.
All right. And the TV screens, they're actually beaming streams of social media data. And so there's so much information coming at them. As you see there in the photo at the top of page 14, all the TV screens and so forth. So there's a lot of information coming at them. But we see that, you know, a lot of this is also coming from the web, as we'll learn later. We have the term hotspots. They're highlighting hotspots of activity around the world. A lot of times when we use this term hotspot, we might be talking about tourism, Steve.
Right, hotspots, a place that is popular, a place where activity is happening, a place where perhaps a revolution is starting, or a place where there's a storm forming. These are all hotspots, and these are all spots that are creating news. Therefore, they would be interesting to the people who subscribe to Banjo.
So they have a globe there, and they have these hot spots highlighted there on the globe, and that helps them to do their business. They need to know maybe who to contact in certain parts of the world with the piece of news that they want to give them, Albert.
More recently, I just wanted to make a note that when I ever hear the word hotspot, I associate it with Wi-Fi activity or a place where I can connect my phone or laptop.
That's right, and what does that mean?
For hotspot,
mm-hmm.
I'm guessing it means where people can be able to get online
mm-hmm.
and be able to interact with people. So it's a spot where like activity is happening.
That's right. That's a good point. Well, next we see from this nerve center, and that is a good term, is a place from which an organization or activity is controlled or managed. So you can imagine, you know, you're there in this war room, it's the nerve center, it's where all the activity is going on.
Yeah, I liked it too. Nerve center makes me think of a brain. There's so many nerves going to our brain and bringing our brain information. So this is the brain of the company, if you will. This is where everything's happening and everything's being processed. And there's a team of employees behind computer terminals. I would guess they're there, or they're being staffed 24 hours a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a worldwide situation. They want to monitor everything going on all the time.
They might miss something if someone's not there.
Right.
In the middle
if you go to sleep, something could happen and you miss it.
Right. Well, they are doing something, this team there, they're doing something extraordinary with the billions of public social media posts spewed onto the internet each day. So what are they doing, Albert?
They're not only monitoring the news, but they're also tracking it, being able to get that competitive edge that we talked about earlier, to be able to find something that happens that's interesting and relevant and be able to push it out to their subscribers.
And they're doing all of this in real time before mm-hmm. almost anyone else knows.
This is amazing, really. When you think about it, all of the information on the internet available to us, and I think we've talked about this before, mm-hmm. that we have to be very, very discerning about what we believe and what we read and what's right and what's wrong, what's true and what's not true. And they're processing all of this in real time as it's happening. And I really love the word the author uses on line 15, spewed, which gives the impression like it's being spit out,
mm-hmm.
right?
It's just like flowing. There's so much coming.
It's like coming out. You're spitting it out. And it's up to us to process that. Mm-hmm. Because if we were to believe everything, we'd just be overwhelmed, right?
Right.
And so their job is to take that information and process it, put it in little boxes for people to digest.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about that later, but you would imagine they would have to have some highly sensitive technology to help them out with that, because there's just too much information to deal with. Good point, Steve. Well, that is our first reading for today, but we have so much more to learn about banjo, so let's go to our next reading today, The Crystal Ball.
The Crystal Ball. Banjo founder and chief executive Damian Patton calls the technology the Crystal Ball, and clients are paying tens of thousands of dollars a year for subscriptions. They include anyone whose competitive advantage is measured in seconds, financial service companies hoping to get an edge on trades and major media networks anxious to break news. The ubiquity of cell phone cameras has provided a window into all corners of the globe, but Banjo's powerful technology is able to filter through the noise. Combining location, time, and an uncanny ability to read images to determine whether something unusual is happening.
All right, many of you may be familiar with the idea of a crystal ball, someone looking into that crystal ball to say what's going to happen in the future. Of course, you know, that doesn't really happen, but, you know, we have that imagery, right?
Yeah, it's in a lot of movies. It's in a lot of kids' stories, mm-hmm. magical balls, crystal balls. Usually
yeah.
maybe a witch will be looking in the crystal ball
yeah.
and seeing what's happening in real time or in the future.
Yeah.
I think The Wizard of Oz, a very famous movie, has the witch looking into the crystal ball.
Yeah, it's kind of a fun thing that we see in kids' stories and so forth. But here, of course, they're using this phrase because we talked about seeing these events in real time. And so that's why they're using this crystal ball. It's almost as if they're getting the news so quickly that they're getting it before it happens.
Like it's magic.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. It's a magical place to be. Well, Banjo founder and chief executive Damian Patton calls the technology the crystal ball, as we've just talked about, and clients are paying lots of money for this, aren't they, Albert?
They are. They're paying tens of thousands of dollars a year. I believe Steve mentioned earlier how this not gives them a really good competitive edge.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it sounds like they're paying a lot of money, but for their field and their competition, it may translate to billions of dollars for them of profit, to be able to have that extra minute or two or day even of information.
That's right. And we see the word subscription here. So, Steve, they are subscribing to Banjo, and that means maybe they're paying a monthly fee, right?
Right. This is something that's ongoing. It's not a one-time fee. They can renew it in the future, or they could cancel it, just
sure.
as you could if you subscribe to a magazine.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, they include anyone whose competitive advantage is measured in seconds. I like the way they put that because, wow, it's really competitive that, you know, you have to measure things in seconds. If you think of being a news organization, you have to be first, and that you could have it just 5 seconds before another news organization. And then we also have financial service companies.
Right. I mentioned this a little bit earlier. And if you follow the financial news, you know that time does matter when you're trading stocks and bonds and when you're waiting for the market to open in the morning. Something could happen
mm-hmm.
right before it opens that could change the market and change the value of stocks. And that's very, very important to know if you're a trader.
Yes.
You could lose a lot of money, or you could make a lot of money if you know the information.
It's a very stressful industry, it sounds like, to work in, but this can provide just the information that they need. And, of course, they also mentioned, once again, major media networks. They're anxious to break news, and so they want this information right away.
Yeah. In English, sometimes we say they want to get the scoop.
Mm.
Yeah. When you have the scoop, that means you're kind of the first to know, and you can break that news to the public.
That's right. Well, next we see the ubiquity of cell phone cameras, of course, has provided a window into all corners of the globe. And so we're getting information, you know, from all parts of the world because of cell phone cameras. People are videoing things. We have the word ubiquity here, Albert.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like before cell phones was commonplace and everywhere. We had security cameras, mm-hmm. like at the bank, at the ATM machines, and it was something that at first it was a little intrusive that we didn't get used to it, but then after a while, because it was so commonplace, that it just became like background. It was like normal for every day. And now everyone has a cell phone. It's so convenient and so cheap for everyone to afford that they're also able to use that to capture moments, whether with family or something happening on the streets.
Good. Okay, well, so ubiquity meaning that something is everywhere. You see them everywhere. We see cameras all over the place. And, of course, we see cell phone cameras. And this is helping Banjo to do their job.
Yeah, something that I want to mention is when I was a young boy watching news, most of the news, the images I saw were from the professional cameras, right? But today, you watch the news and a lot of images, like you said, are from security cameras or they're from the cell phone cameras. So it's really shifted. The way the news is broadcast has really shifted. It's like the public has become the cameraman. Yeah. To some extent right now, right?
Right, so it doesn't look as professional, but it is, you know, in real time, basically. You get more information coming in.
That's right. The video footage may be a little blurry.
Shaky,
but if it's providing interesting content, then people don't care.
That's right. Well, Banjo, they have powerful technology, and they're able to filter through lots of different things, aren't they, Albert?
Yes, I feel like if we talk about Google, the search engine, they built an empire off of this, which is the internet is this vast gold mine. And to be able to find the relevant information, that is where the treasure is at.
Okay.
And Banjo is able to provide to do this, and it's almost uncanny. It's like strange or mysterious and difficult to explain.
Yeah.
But
so
they're able to track it.
Right. So they're able to filter through the noise, and they're able to combine location, time, and they have this uncanny ability to read images. And so that word uncanny, that's a good word to know. Steve, can you tell us a little about that?
Uncanny, yeah. It means strange or mysterious. Just as Albert said, it's hard to explain. It's uncanny. And the powerful technology that we're talking about, I'm guessing, is some kind of computer software with algorithms, which we'll talk about in a moment.
Yeah, and so they do have this powerful technology. Of course, they cannot get the really important news without filtering through all of the junk as well, because they don't need all that information. They have to find out what their clients want, and so they're able to filter through that. And we get some examples of using an algorithm and so forth in our last reading for today.
Timely examples. Banjo's algorithm alerted the company to the downing of a Malaysian jetliner moments after it hit the ground in Ukraine last year, detecting a picture of a plane crash posted without words on the Russian social network Vontik. A photograph of bloodied passengers inside a train car posted on Twitter immediately tipped Banjo off to an Amtrak derailment in Philadelphia in May. Within 5 minutes, a local NBC affiliate and Banjo client posted video of the incident online. And in January, Amazon shares fell after Banjo quickly learned through a posted picture of a fire at one of the tech giant's data centers in Virginia and informed a local news station. No fire engine was even there yet, said Patton, who boasts that his image recognition software knows the difference between floods and lakes, smoke and clouds, and protests in ordinary crowds.
All right, thank you, Albert. Well, Banjo's algorithm, this algorithm alerted the company to the downing of the Malaysian jetliner, and this was back last year. That was flight MH17. It was en route from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur. And, of course, it was traveling in a dangerous area, really. And so that's why it was apparently shot down, I believe. And I don't know. I think they're still maybe investigating some of that. But let's look at that first at that word algorithm. Steve, what does that mean?
Ooh, that's a big word. And it's a set of mathematical rules for calculations or solving problems. Maybe you know the Rubik's Cube, and that's a puzzle toy to try to get the colors on all the same size. Well, there's an algorithm, actually, to solve the Rubik's Cube. There may be more than one, I'm not sure, but there's at least one algorithm, which means it's a rule. There are calculations and methods to solve problems.
All right, so basically they're using a computer here, and there's a set of rules that they use, and when everything falls into place, something alerts them and tells them to pay attention to this bit of news, basically.
Yeah, and in this case, maybe there was an image of an airliner that crashed in the Ukraine, and the software detected it, and it went through the processes and said, hey, this is big news. You need to look at this. And so it kind of tagged it and then sent it forward for the staff to look at it.
All right, and this was on a Russian social network. And so they have access to different social networks all over the world. It's not just in the United States. They're looking at different places.
Yeah, and this is an example of how news can affect finances, I think. Because I think after this event happened, there was a lot of talk about how the Western world would interact with Russia as a result of this event financially, banks and loans and so forth, and trade, and all of those topics were on the table as a result of this incident.
That's right. So, you know, they got that information very quickly, and things can begin to change very quickly as well. And then we have another example here of a train crash. Albert, tell us about that.
So what happened was Amtrak, there was the train company Amtrak, had a derailment in Philadelphia in May, and immediately Banjo was tipped off about it within minutes.
All right, and tipped off. If you tip somebody off, you warn someone about something. And so I guess their computer system, the technology they have, told them what happened because someone posted what happened on Twitter. And so, again, they're monitoring all these different social sites, and they found out what happened there in Philadelphia.
Yeah, again, just like what happened in the Ukraine, what happened in Philadelphia, a picture was taken by a citizen, someone who's not involved in the news networks, just took a photo, snapped a photo with their phone, and posted it, and then Banjo picked it up. So that's pretty amazing.
That's right. And then a local TV station got it as well, an NBC station, NBC standing for National Broadcasting Company. It's a TV network in the United States. And one of their affiliates, a local station, they found out about this, and they got that information. And they were able to post this incident online. And so we were talking about media networks. They're anxious to break news. And so here we see an example of that. And then what happened in January, Steve?
Yeah, January is another great example of how Banjo's algorithms are working. There was a big fire in Virginia. It occurred in one of Amazon.com's Amazon, the giant data center in Virginia, and that came up on Banjo. And as a result of that, Amazon's stock fell because that was a huge hit for Amazon.
Right, so people see this and they maybe stop buying stock, right?
Yeah, I feel like this is like a double-edged sword, having information in the digital age where it's instantaneously getting it. We have things that are competitive edge is measured in seconds. We see this happening as a recent events where, like, news about Apple CEO being sick and people are panicking and they will, like, trade the stocks out and sell it, and Apple stocks going down. Mm-hmm. It happens with major companies. And we have actually CEOs of big companies getting onto Twitter themselves and responding, you know, saying, hey, you know, I'm actually okay.
Yeah, right.
Don't worry about it. It makes it, it's like almost human. But yeah, it's a double-edged sword where it could be advantageous to us, where we can know about something catastrophe happening. At the same time, it might harm others.
Well, in that case of the Apple CEO, Steve Jobs, that was a serious illness, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so that would possibly affect things in the future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And people who go back and try to fix things that have been leaked out or exposed to the public, we call that damage control.
Yeah.
Damage control, because there's a lot of damage occurring to the company's reputation, the company's stocks, the value of stocks. And so there are actually people whose job it is to control the damage
in public,
public opinion.
Right.
Yeah,
the whole PR department, which I would find difficult to work in because I feel like you might have to stretch the truth, and that's or even lie. I don't know, because they have to do this damage control. It's not an easy job. Okay, well, we see that here in this particular incident, when they had this fire at Amazon, no fire engine was even there yet, but the news was out about it, and so Patton is boasting about what his company can do, Albert.
His image recognition software is able to differentiate between all the little different things, whether it be a protest or ordinary crowd gathering, whether it be smoke or clouds. It's able to find these little differences and alert the company.
Okay, so this software is able to differentiate between floods and lakes, smoke and clouds, and protests and ordinary crowds, and that's a great way of putting it to let us know what this technology can do.
Yeah, for example, what if the people at Amazon were having a barbecue? And there was a huge cloud of smoke coming from the next to the building. You know, some would say, hey, that's not a fire, it's just a barbecue. Well, this software can determine and detect whether it is indeed a fire in the building or a barbecue or just a cloud over the building.
And it must be pretty accurate because companies are willing to pay tens of thousands of dollars to subscribe to Banjo, so they must be doing a good job because people would not pay that amount of money for inaccurate information. Well, we are about out of time today. We thank you for joining us for day one of our business article. Be sure to check out our Topic Talks videos. You can simply scan the QR codes there in the magazine to watch those videos. And we hope you will join us again tomorrow for day two of our business article. Until then, this is Brandon.
I'm Steve.
I'm Albert.
Saying goodbye.